Donc, dans ce cas ici, nous avons la densité de la population. Donc, c'est une information qui va rester en permanente, accessible, quel que soit le niveau de navigation, qu'on soit dans une région ou dans une ville ou bien au niveau de toute l'Afrique. Donc, ensuite, là, ce sont les fameux fils dont je vous parlais. Donc, ici, on peut rentrer par corridor, on peut rentrer par aussi région ou par REC. On peut rentrer par pays et puis on peut rentrer par. Bon, je saute cette étape-là. On peut rentrer par secteur. Ce sont les quatre secteurs qui ont été définis par le PIDAPAP, pour le PIDAPAP-2. Et ici, donc, il y a un code couleur pour chaque secteur et un petit icône qui représente chacun des sous-secteurs pour faciliter aussi la compréhension et organiser un petit peu les projets visuellement pour qu'ils soient facilement identifiables. Et ensuite, il y a ici le dernier field qui est la phase dans laquelle se trouve le projet actuellement. Donc ça, c'est une information aussi qui est aussi disponible. Et puis, on peut faire un reset, comment dire, annuler les choix antérieurs qui ont été faits pour revenir à la carte par défaut. Donc voilà, après, en termes de navigation, quand on rentre dans la carte, si je choisis une région ici, ou soit je peux aussi zoomer. Avec ces deux outils qui sont là, je peux zoomer dans la carte. J'ai accès donc là, je n'ai plus le petit numéro qu'il y avait auparavant, par exemple ici 10 pour la région nord-africaine, mais j'ai là tout de suite maintenant, de façon plus détaillée, les icônes des différents sous-secteurs et aussi des espèces de graphiques, des dessins qui nous montrent qui illustrent le projet en soi, hein, la ligne du projet. Son point de départ, son point d'arrivée, les villes qu'elle traverse. Donc, ça, c'est pour une région. Et puis, au niveau d'un pays, donc là, la Tanzanie en l'occurrence, j'ai aussi ces informations-là, maintenant de façon plus détaillée, plus grande. Donc, si je clique par exemple sur ce projet de train ici, j'ai accès à un petit pop-up qui s'ouvre, qui me donne un premier niveau d'information basique. Et si je clique sur ce bouton-là, j'ai accès directement à la fiche détaillé qui ici me donne vraiment toutes les informations dont j'ai besoin, toutes les informations existantes, ce qui a été discuté avec Krishna et Yaguba et le directeur, c'est qu'en fait on va essayer de hiérarchiser l'information ici pour donner deux niveaux de lecture, un niveau de lecture qui soit accessible au grand public, sans rentrer dans les détails techniques et qui sont propres à la compréhension des experts, et d'avoir un deuxième niveau de lecture, là, justement pour les experts, pour les ministères, où ils peuvent trouver toutes les informations financières, économiques, le suivi du projet sur un simple clic. Voilà, cette fiche-là va être un petit peu retravaillée. Donc, ici, dans la fiche, on va essayer d'illustrer un petit peu les projets avec des photos. C'est toujours bien d'avoir un petit peu la réalisation illustrée. Et on a toutes les informations, donc sur la partie de droite, la description du projet, les objectifs, les risques qui sont encourus, les aspects économiques, budgétaires, financiers. Ici, il y aura probablement des documents qui seront téléchargeables. Les principaux associés au projet, donc ça, ce sont des liens cliquables, on peut arriver vers la fiche de chacune de ces organisations et les principaux contacts de ce projet-là, avec les mails directement accessibles. Et puis finalement, la contribution aux objectifs de développement durable de l'agenda 2030. Sur la partie de gauche, donc là, nous avons des informations un peu plus sur les critères en fait qui ont été définis pour le PIDAPAP-2, tout ce qui est en rapport avec la création d'emplois. Les aspects économiques et financiers, comment dire, comment je traduis ça en sensitivity, climate sensitivity, bon, Krishna, help.
Climate responsiveness, en fait, je dirais. Bon, il y a mitigation et adaptation et mitigation, donc. Lutte contre le réchauffement et adaptation au changement climatique. Bon, mais en fait, c'est résumé par Climate Sensitivity qui résume les deux, en fait.
Voilà. Bon, c'est un petit peu la même chose pour le genre. Comment est-ce que le projet contribue à l'égalité des genres? Ensuite, c'est tout ce qui est connectivité rurale, c'est-à-dire comment est-ce que Le projet permet de connecter les grandes villes aux zones rurales. Et finalement, le côté innovant du projet en tant que soi. Et puis, dans cette première, deuxième partie, donc là, bah, c'est les informations basiques du projet, où est-ce qu'il est situé exactement, qui est l'organisation qui est responsable du projet, quels sont les pays bénéficiaires, la dimension dans ce cas-là, bon, bah, c'est une ligne de train, donc on a la distance et la vitesse à laquelle elle peut être parcourue. Et puis, les dates de début, les dates de fin et les principaux budgets. Et puis ici, donc, on a la petite fenêtre que j'ai montrée tout à l'heure. On peut suivre le projet et voir quelles sont les différentes étapes. Donc, on a un clic ici, il y a cette petite fenêtre qui s'ouvre et on peut voir comment il a évolué. Est-ce qu'il répond bien aux dates qui avaient été annoncées antérieurement, etc. Ici, on a donc où, dans quel autre projet, le programme, ce projet est montré. Et on peut télécharger la fiche, cette même fiche que vous voyez ici, au format PDF, pour avoir le document sur son ordinateur. Dans ces parties du bas, donc en fait, on relie ce projet-là à d'autres projets qui soient associés à ce projet directement, dans le cadre d'un corridor, par exemple, ou du même pays, la Tanzanie en l'occurrence, ou des projets du même secteur. Voilà, ça permet de créer des liens entre les fiches projets, un petit peu d'interactivité dans le site web, et c'est aussi très très bon pour les moteurs de recherche. Voilà, donc je vous invite à commenter, donner votre avis. On a travaillé un petit peu en cuisine, et là maintenant on espère pouvoir avoir l'avis des utilisateurs et le vôtre pour continuer à améliorer cette interface. Merci beaucoup.
Merci beaucoup Hicham. Et je crois très utile en fait, hein, parce que je sais que ce n'est pas évident pour les collègues francophones. Alors,
En plus, j'ai un meilleur accent en français qu'en anglais.
Donc oui, on a remarqué. So colleagues, after this brief introduction or actually demonstration of what has been developed today by our colleague Hicham, I would like to invite you to some questions. So if you have, I can see there are already a few questions in the chat box. So I will ask Charlie to guide us through the questions, maybe ask the persons to repeat or read the questions so that everybody can understand them, and if need be, we can translate the question, and then we will let Hicham reply, and maybe other colleagues can intervene. So, Charlie, can you take us to the questions?
Yeah, sure, Krishna. The first question is coming from Gilbert. Gilbert, I know you're online, so the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. I wrote this down, but it's a with regard to the fish, I think, well, of course, just to first say that this is a very good presentation. I mean, the graphical presentation, and just saying that, and the point was made, but to say that on the fish, the other counterpart projects along the corridor, which interface with that project, it's important to list them. This is especially the case with the project, infrastructure railways, where once you build a segment and it's leading all along the corridor, we should know the state of the other segments. So there's a provision for that, but I said not only in that country, but in the other countries along the entire corridor. There may not be very many. Thank you. Did you hear me?
Yes, we heard you, Gilbert. Yes, thank you. Okay. So we will let maybe Hicham comment on this.
Yeah, actually, we have this link here of this fish that connect to other fishes related to this project. Associated, corridor. Yeah, exactly.
But maybe the question of Gilbert was, when you say associated, And then you showed us, initially you showed us the corridor menu on top. Do you mean it has to be in the same corridor to be shown here?
They should interface so that if you, build a segment, the other ones are also there, because if you build a segment and it is stranded, then you don't get the benefits of through transport.
Yes, we understand
I understand, Gilbert.
Isham, do you have a live version of this, or is this a presentation of you compile actually, or is it too slow to be live?
Sorry, I don't understand.
Do you have a live version? Can we do a live demo on? No,
those are images for the moment.
Yeah. That's what I. Yeah. So okay, so maybe then the question, my clarification was, if you, it has to be within that corridor actually. So you can only see associated or related projects which are already documented in the same corridor.
Exactly.
Okay. Good. Makes sense. And then
we have,
you would see also the status. Okay.
Exactly.
So yeah.
All right. The second question, which I also had, is from Edvan, and he's asking SADC Secretariat, is there going to be a standalone platform for PDAPUB 2 projects only, or will this be linked to the current VPIC platform?
Yes. Would you like to answer, Krishna?
I think we discussed this earlier. The idea actually is for this new interface become the common PIDA interface, whether PAP 1, PAP 2, and any other future versions of PAP, it would be the same interface that would enable users to view existing projects and to view the new planned projects. Actually, it would defeat the purpose of corridors and building on PAP 1, actually. This is the whole idea is to improve the graphical interface. And since we now have quite a few existing assets, existing projects from PAP 1, is to show how the PAP 2 projects, actually, the extensions, the additions, the gaps, how we are filling the gap, how the PAP 2, for example, are filling the gaps between the existing infrastructure, and how this is kind of showing the emergence of the corridors, how we can see graphically the corridors emerging. So yes, there will be a single new interface. So you will notice the PDAPUB 2 website currently has no graphical interface. It's just a data entry. This is the website that will live up till probably the end of the year, till we go through this election process, etc. It will be used up to end of June for data entry or submission, and then it will be used internally by the task force members for the screening and shortlisting. And after that, we will then have a common platform, a common graphical interface to show the for all PIDA phases. And even now, those who are familiar with the PAP 2 website for submission, you will notice there's a small icon at the right, and that you can navigate from PAP 2 to the VPIC and vice versa. From VPIC, you can click on the homepage and go to the PAP 2 website. So this is an intermediate solution, but eventually there will be a single platform. I think that answers the question.
So, all right. Yeah. The next one is coming from Sami. Sami, if you are online, please, the floor is yours, because the question is a little bit confusing. Sami,
yes.
Can you
hear me? Yes, thank you very much. Hello, everybody. So my question was exactly this. It was probably answered. Is this a new version of VPIC, or only the graphical interface, the new graphical interface? So we're touching only the graphical interface, I guess. This is what I understood.
Well, both of them, since the PDAPUB 2 have more information because we have this corridor aspect. And the criteria, those are new kind of content that will be uploaded to the database. So both of them, the new interface and new information.
Yeah. Yes, yes. But I would like to add, actually, maybe we should explain that whether it's SPIDA PARP 1, VPIC, PARP 2, they are all sitting on the mother, the same core database, actually. Mm-hmm. At the back end, there is no duplication. All the data to date rest or are stored in a single database, which is the AID, Africa Infrastructure Database. So yeah, there's no... What we're seeing are views, actually. VPIC is a view of it. SPIDA PARP 2 is another view of it. But ultimately, there will be even a single view of it. There won't be duplicated view, whatever. At this stage, the purpose of SPIDA PARP 2 is for facilitating the data entry. It's very focused on the process, actually. The submission process and validation process and the screening process. Once this is over, then it will be replaced by a single graphical interface for all SPIDA projects.
Yeah, exactly. Krishna is right. I mean, here in the AID, this is the only reliable database for Africa. So even if we are submitting the project through the SPIDA PARP 2 website, it goes to this database. And from here, we will try it again in the new website. So the main database is here in this platform. It might be from the SPIDA PARP 1 or the SPIDA PARP 2, they're all gathered here. Ça, c'est l'interface de ce qu'on appelle l'AID, c'est l'infrastructure de données de base de données africaines qui est gérée par le NEPAD. Et c'est ici que sont centralisées en fait toutes les informations concernant les projets, que ce soit le SPIDA PARP 1 comme le SPIDA PARP 2. Donc, même si c'est à travers de ce site-là, le premier, que sont soumis les projets avec toutes les informations-là, tout est recentralisé ensuite dans l'AID. Et c'est à partir de là, on va créer des scripts qui vont importer l'information et les montrer dans une nouvelle interface. Donc, ça, c'est vraiment le centre de la database, c'est ici, c'est sur ce site-là. Du NEPAD. Il n'y a pas de petite base de données par-ci, par-là. Tout est centralisé sur une base de données africaine.
Merci, Charles. Merci pour votre aide. Oui. So, Charlie, back to you. Any other questions?
No more question on the chat box, Krishna.
Okay. Can we go to raise hands? Anybody wants to intervene live, ask a question? And a new question? Ah, there's Tish, okay. So if there are no questions, I have two questions actually. Maybe Isham, when you showed us the, I'll say the question in English and maybe in French for those colleagues to benefit. French-speaking colleagues. So when you showed us the population density, maybe if you could go back to that population density slide. Yeah, this one. Mm-hmm. What is the resolution? When can you zoom in actually? How fine is the resolution when you zoom in first? And then do you go, how do you, these brown areas we see, are they dots? Are they villages and cities and towns, or are they, How do you show actually translate from density to graphical?
Yeah, actually that was made for the presentation purpose. This is a map I find out on the web for showing the density. So there are like dots, but now it depends on the database we work on and how it can represent the density. I'm not sure it can be dots. Maybe the one I saw. They are more like by country, and we have a kind of color code or color density to show the density of each country. But this one for me would be more relevant in our case because it doesn't enter in conflict with the color code of ours, and it shows exactly city by city or region, the density of the population, and this is what we need actually. So we will try to find this the data for this layer.
Mm. What I would suggest, actually, maybe this is what we discussed about this earlier. I think if you look at from the PIDA point of view, if you look at the urban-rural connectivity, for example, now let me give you an example of the how urban-rural connectivity is. Can you still hear me? There's a power failure. There was a power failure. Did you hear me? Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Ah, okay. There was a power failure now, few seconds, maybe. I'll repeat, actually, because there was a short power failure. Power cut.
No problem.
Yeah. So what I was saying is that, if you look at PIDA criteria, okay, one of the criteria is, for example, rural-urban connectivity. And the definition of rural in that criteria is any agglomeration, any village, town, city, town where there are less than 50,000 people, which is the definition of rural. And then at the other extreme, you will find the mega cities, the big emerging capital cities, the Abidjans, Lagos, and that. Here we're talking about, you know, millions, probably above 1 million, 2 million, or up to 10 million in Addis, the greater Addis. And then in between, you have what you call the intermediate or emerging African cities, you know. Examples, Bobo Dioulasso in Burkina Faso, maybe, I don't know, Yamsoukro in Côte d'Ivoire. So the question is, if we could somehow, and this is linked to my next question, you mentioned projection over the next 10 years. If you could identify actual cities, mapping of cities, and then so very obviously the capital cities are very easy to map, and the population of these cities, and if we can have access to the current population and the future population, then these dots, actually, and then the emerging cities dots. I know there is data exists on which are these secondary cities, they're called 1 million population, and I think there will be hundreds of them in Africa. So this is the next phase of urbanization of Africa. It has two dimensions. One is sprawling capital cities, but there's a limit to how much the capital cities can sprawl. But what's also happening is the secondary cities are emerging and growing beyond the 1 million mark, 1 million population mark, which is a very, very well-known, actually, milestone. 1 million population is considered a city, a large town city. So I think that would be very helpful, because then it would show us, it would be very relevant in terms of, if we could plot these dots, capital cities, we will not be able to do all. Maybe we need to do three categories: the capital cities, you know, and then the emerging secondary cities, those which are above 1 million, then anything which is between 50,000 and 1 million is considered, you know, small city, small town, whatever, and below 50,000 is considered rural, village, large village, or, you know, not yet a town, etc. So that would be very, very helpful, because this is at the core of what we're trying to do in terms of rural connectivity between urban and rural areas, and secondly, the emerging corridors, because then you would see, actually, these dots would show you that this is the emerging logistics corridor, industrial corridor, etc. That's a suggestion, Isham, we already discussed about this, but I agree that it all depends on the availability of data. But yeah, that would be, to me, the most important layer, actually, over and above the existing infrastructure layers you showed us.
Yeah, no problem. As you said, it depends on the availability of the data, and we also need to work in this technical meeting that we are still waiting to hold and to discuss all those aspects.
Yeah, my second point was about projection. Since PIDA, PAP2 is a 10-year time frame, and so probably obviously you cannot have a kind of a yearly projection, it's too complicated. So one suggestion is we can say, okay, this is the current image, and the current is also progressively in time updated. So maybe current would be 2021 next year. You see, whatever is available data for maybe 2020 would be shown in 2021. Obviously, data is not kind of real time. This will obviously not be real time. So it will be updated maybe every year or every 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then we could show what is the current situation in terms of existing infrastructure. And then, and population density in terms of dots, cities, what we just discussed. And then we can say, what do we project in the next 3 years in terms of projects to be implemented? So projects in the pipeline, which are those that could materialize in the next, let's say, 3 years? So obviously, projects which have reached financial close or ongoing PIDA PAP 1. And then we plot these. At the same time, we plot what is the projected population dots, cities, etc., in the 3 years. In 3 years, then maybe the next we can say in 6 to 7 years, what is going to be, which are those PIDA PAP 2 which are planned for implementation in the next, you know, in 6-7 years. At the same time, then we plot the projected population growth in that period, and maybe we do a last one for 10 years, then it's a more kind of medium to long term projection. That is again a suggestion. Maybe we can have the views of participants, focal points. What do you think about this? How would this actually? My idea was, how does this help policymakers to see graphically how these infrastructure, whether it's road, rail, ports, airports, or fiber optic backbone, or water, energy, electricity transmission lines, how does these align to current and future population growth, actually, the dots? Where are the population? I think I'll stop here and maybe wait for feedback from colleagues. And what do you think about this? Hello, Hisham, or
yes,
colleagues want to intervene about what you just discussed?
Yeah, I'm confident this is a very good, very relevant aspect of this map to relate the projects to the benefit of the population and to how those projections for the next 10 years. I'm confident it will be very great. I'm just wondering if we can find how we can build this data.
Yeah,
and data where is we can find it. Yeah.
But these are two separate issues, and we should not. I don't think we should design it because there's no data. Actually, maybe we should design it and then ask for the data or have a separate project to collect the data. I'm sure you know the data. This kind of data must exist somewhere, and. The collection of this data and compilation of this data could be a separate exercise, actually. I think focus of this should be on the graphical functionalities. What are we trying to get in terms of functionalities? Mm-hmm. And where would the data come? Obviously, it's a very important question because without the data, nothing will show. But that can be taken up in a separate, you know, not in this assignment, but in a separate completely separate assignment. I see Gilbert Mighty wants to intervene. Gilbert?
Yeah, thank you. Just to add to what you have said, Chris, yes, it is important to this. Of course, some of that data would have to come from other sources. And I've also in mind the issue of on the overlay, there could be a provision for showing the traffic densities along segments of the corridors. Now, some of that information is available with the operators like the and even road authorities that show what are the traffic volumes at some key areas where they do the traffic counts, and this is done continuously. So even if there's not, and it will help also, for example, when a project is being designed or developed, that kind of information is collected, and even forecast for the years to come are also provided. But this could be then be updated to show what is happening. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, this can be a kind of layer, no, Krishna?
Yeah,
The traffic density.
Traffic density can be a layer, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. On top of the infrastructure layer, yeah.
Si vous permettez, Krishna,
je pose
la question, mais on profite qu'on ait les points focaux ici, justement. Donc, quand on parle de ces projections sur 10 ans, est-ce que justement, dans les ministères de planification, est-ce qu'il y a ces informations-là qui sont disponibles dans les pays? Est-ce qu'il y aurait moyen de les collecter et de les rassembler et d'en faire une seule base de données qui soit aussi disponible au niveau du NEPAD? Je ne sais pas si quelqu'un peut répondre. On essaie de tout centraliser et d'avoir toutes ces informations-là, mais il faut qu'on aille les chercher là où elles sont. Donc, peut-être pour recontextualiser ce qu'a dit tout à l'heure Krishna, c'est qu'en fait, on essaie de faire une relation entre les projets et les bénéfices que cela va apporter aux populations qui vivent autour du projet et comment ces bénéfices vont évoluer, que ce soit en termes de création d'emplois, d'équité du genre, etc. Comment est-ce qu'ils vont évoluer dans les 10 prochaines années? Donc, on a besoin de cette information-là. On peut faire des évaluations, des estimations. Je pense que c'est au niveau des pays que cette information-là est la plus crédible.
Tout à fait. Et maybe I'll translate for the colleagues. The question of Hisham, we just discussed that we need to separate these two issues, the design, functionality plus, and the data. So Hisham is asking, since member states are connected from so many countries across Africa, and it's obvious that the ultimate source of data is the country data, actually the statistical offices of these countries, and even if I know that for example African Development Bank tends to compile they are also one of the most I would say reliable African sources of data, because the data actually is compiled from source data, that is from the official statistical focal points of the countries. And it's fully recognized data. It's fully one of the best sources of African data is from that Africa database platform for even infrastructure or even demographic data. But Hisham has a question is about country data. So I think in the exercise we mentioned, this is where the countries could, especially the projections, right? Because projections in 5-10 years is very, very linked to the country knowledge, which areas are projected to grow, etc. So his question is whether the countries actually could contribute this kind of data, especially projected data, to so that we can display this here and see how it kind of overlays or interfaces with the existing and planned infrastructures. So the floor is open. If anybody wants to intervene on these points, please feel free. So if we don't have any intervention, maybe Shali, you can guide us through the next questions, the remaining questions.
Yeah, sure. There was a question from Edvan, the SADC secretary, asking that he sees that the example shown for the Tanzania project has write-ups in English and French. And he guesses that this is just it will be cleaned up later. But as a follow-up, will there be an interface available in other languages? And I mean, specifically for Tanzania, that would be Kiswahili.
Well, the map we are using actually allows some languages. I guess it works with the country official language. And I will have to check if it if this is possible. So there will be many, many information on the map if we open it to each language. But we will check the feasibility.
Sorry, may I come in? I did not mean national languages, but I meant probably having languages like the interface having French or English and then maybe Portuguese. And the AU languages, maybe Arabic, I don't know. Maybe just something like that. I didn't mean national languages.
I misunderstood you. Yeah, in fact, the website will be in English and French. So you can navigate here, you choose your language here, and you have the whole interface in the one of those two languages.
Okay, next question, Charlie.
The next question is from Shokonbi Ekwas. I think he left the meeting though because he had to run to another meeting. He's asking, are we getting information on PETA projects that have become operational so that we can learn lessons that could be useful for dimension or fine-tuning new projects?
So this is for you, Krishna.
Are we tracking information on PETA so that we can learn useful? Yes, actually, on PETA that have become operational. So this is VPIC, actually. So the question is linked. Yes, we are tracking information. Although maybe, I don't know, is Ephraim, I think, is not connected, but there were some issues about whether the data are up to date or not, because this is the whole issue of these tools. Ultimately, it's only as good as the kind of data or updated data we put on it. So yes, in principle, there is a tracking system for the VPIC, which also shows the status S2, S2B, etc., so that we can learn lessons to be useful for dimensioning in future. Tuning, sorry, we have to, okay. So basically this is also linked to what we're trying to do actually. Maybe we didn't explain this well enough. The actual aim of this layers or what Isham showed us, the click, when you click on these buttons, you can superpose layers. This is the whole point of showing which are the PETA PAP 1 projects existing that is already built or being built, and then which are those who are being projected for the we should select then the three time frames, the short, medium, and long term. Let's say the 3, 7 and 10 year time frame, and then that would definitely help us for planning purposes, especially when we bring in the demographics, the demographic data, the dots, population dots, actually. Emerging cities, existing cities, how big the cities are becoming, etc. So yes, there is that diamond. There is that the aim is actually precisely this, to use this as a decision aid tool, as a graphical tool.
All right. The next question is in French. Johannes, the floor is yours.
Johannes is our
Johannes.
Merci. Ma question est-ce que par rapport à la plateforme, il sera centralisé à quel niveau? Est-ce qu'il sera aussi interactif? Ça veut dire la mise à jour sera faite comment et quand et qui pourra faire cette mise à jour? Et aussi, j'ai une petite remarque. Est-ce qu'on peut limiter la carte uniquement pour l'Afrique, pour ne pas avoir d'autres confusions. Je ne sais pas est-ce que c'est, ce sera utile ou pas, parce que on voit aussi le Moyen-Orient, l'Europe et tout ça, donc juste pour se limiter au niveau Afrique. Merci Hicham, merci Krishna.
Merci Younes pour votre question. Bon, en fait, alors pour la question sur la carte, on utilise une carte qui est déjà existante, qui permet de naviguer un petit peu partout dans le monde. On ne peut pas gommer les autres continents, malheureusement, c'est trop facile. Donc, mais bon, en fait, avec le code couleur qu'on va utiliser, on fera en sorte que les autres continents se voient un peu moins que l'Afrique ressorte plus que les autres. De toute façon, tous les calques n'apparaîtront que sur l'Afrique. So the Younes was asking if we can only maintain Africa in this platform and erase the other continents. Unfortunately, it is not possible. So we try to play with colors to highlight more Africa than the other countries. Pour votre deuxième question, en fait, toute l'information, comme je disais tout à l'heure, est centralisée dans l'AID, toute la data, et on l'importe en temps réel. C'est-à-dire, il y a un script qui permet d'importer en temps réel. Donc, si vous faites des modifications ou des ajouts dans la base de données qui est dans l'AID, elles sont automatiquement retranscrites sur la plateforme. So the other question of Younes was, is this database updated frequently? Yes, since we are using a script that will bring the information from the AID platform directly in real time to the platform. So there is no loss of information, we are in real time.
Thank you. Any other questions, Charlie?
No more questions, Krishna.
Yeah, I can see Gilbert has hands raised, but maybe it's from before. Gilbert, is there a new question?
Thank you, Krishna. This question was answered because it was part of what you when you were talking about showing the overlays on population in cities and all that. I mentioned the area of traffic densities also. So it was answered. It was put across. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Hicham, is there something else you want to show us? Maybe on the we discuss about these two levels, the technical level, more for people to drill into the actual projects, and then the more higher, I would say, political heads of state, minister level. Do you have something you can show us on this?
Not for the moment. We have to work on this together, Krishna, and with you and Yaguban, to decide what is for the public and what is for the experts and ministries. Yeah, what I can show, those are the other, remember from the first step here, we have the interactive map, then we have the project list, and we have the key figures. So now I can show you the project list. The project list is this kind of interface. So there is no map. We have directly access to the database. They are organized by alphabetic order, and you can display here as much projects as you want, and you navigate through this folio. The same filters that we have for the interactive map also worked here. What is interesting in this interface is that you can select the project of your choice and export them in Excel. Ça, c'est donc l'autre entrée à la plateforme qui permet d'avoir accès directement à la liste des projets. Donc, elles sont classées ici par ordre alphabétique. Les mêmes filtres que nous avons utilisés auparavant pour la carte fonctionnent aussi ici pour cette liste. Et on peut donc le montrer par page, etc. Et ce qui est intéressant, c'est qu'en cochant les cases ici sur la gauche, on peut par la suite exporter une sélection de produits sur un format Excel. Donc on peut choisir, par exemple, je vais choisir la Tanzanie, je sélectionne tous les projets de Tanzanie et je les exporte au format Excel. So that was one of the three entrances. The last one is the keys and figures. which allows us to have an overview of the program and all the projects. It might be by subsector, by RECs, by region, and so on. So I guess those can be very useful for statistic people or for the media also, or even at the region from the region perspective to have this information. Donc ici, en fait, ce sont des éléments statistiques qui présentent les projets, le programme, soit par secteur, soit par sous-secteur, soit par région. Et ce sont ces graphiques peuvent être intéressants au niveau des régions, des pays, mais aussi pour les médias, pour avoir un petit peu les avancées et les chiffres clés du programme.
Voilà. Yes.
Donc moi, je vous invite à faire des commentaires. Hein. Ça peut être aussi des commentaires sur la fonctionnalité, sur l'interactivité, ce que vous aimez, vous n'aimez pas. On aimerait bien avoir un peu plus de
retour.
De retour, voilà. Pour savoir si on est sur le bon chemin.
Feedback. So we're saying, colleagues, we would like to have your feedback. The aim of this session actually is basically to show you what is being developed and to really get your feedback, your live suggestions, any comments, suggestions. And I would say that I would suggest three separate views, actually, three areas where we would like to give your comments and suggestions. One is the website to be used by the technocrats, the technicians, the sectoral experts of ministries and governments. In that case, what are the functionalities, how we could drill down very more technical data. I can see our colleague Ephraim is joining us. Good. So Ephraim maybe can add. Hello, Ephraim. Can you hear us? Hello, Ephraim, are you there? I can't see his, is he connected? Yeah, he's there, but his mic is not yet on. So yeah, this is the first key users would be the very technical people, you know, the sectoral experts in energy, in the water sector. So obviously they would like to have the more detailed technical information. So we should be able to drill down and reach out to this information. So probably Isham is showing us on the left side also, that's part of it. Then the second type, I think, is the high level ministerial or heads of state level. So in that case, what is relevant for them is not necessarily all these technical details, but more how these infrastructure projects, the existing plan and future, how are these aligned to population, existing population, and projected growth in population. And the third actually is linked to the second. It's more the prospective function, the ministries of economic planning, the people who plan, who do the master plans, who do the vision documents, you know, the vision 2030, we've seen vision 2030. Now we have agenda 2063. So people doing the long-term prospective, which could be using this as a tool to help them to say, you know, in 10 years time, what should this country, for example, a specific country be focusing on as depending on its chosen growth strategy. Is it an industrial growth strategy? Is it an agricultural growth strategy? Is it a services-based growth strategy? So the people focusing on growth, economic growth, you know, the economic planners, the economists doing the planning, these people could be using this tool for their projections, their planning, etc. So these are the three categories, I would say, of users who could be interested in this tool, and we would like to have your views. I think there are a few hands raised. Let me see. Yeah, I think we have, we still have Younes and Gilbert hands raised. I think we've already heard to you. Is this a French contribution, Younes, Gilbert?
Yes, Krishna.
Go on, Younes.
Yes, thank you. I have one suggestion. Est-ce que Hicham, est-ce qu'on peut faire une interaction entre cette plateforme et Google Maps? Par exemple, lorsqu'on choisit un projet, s'il est localisé bien sûr avec les coordonnées, par exemple s'ils sont fournis, est-ce qu'il y aura peut-être un lien avec Google Maps? Est-ce que c'est possible ou pas? Je sais pas.
Quel genre de lien?
Par exemple, est-ce qu'on peut mettre aussi un lien avec Google Maps pour les projets qui sont les coordonnées des projets, par exemple?
En fait, il y a plusieurs possibilités au niveau de la carte. On peut utiliser Google Maps. Il y a d'autres cartes qui sont disponibles aussi, des cartes interactives. Ah, pardon, je vous ai un peu perdu, Younes, si vous voulez reposer la question, s'il vous plaît.
Oui, ma proposition, ce n'est pas une question, c'est une proposition peut-être. Est-ce que c'est possible ou pas, par exemple, lorsqu'un projet est proposé avec des coordonnées, XY, par exemple, est-ce qu'on peut le mettre sur Google Maps, par exemple, juste avec des pointillés, comme un projet projeté, pour justement l'utilité de Google Maps pour voir peut-être plus de détails sur les villes qui seront intéressées par le projet, par le tracé.
Donc c'est plus le niveau de détail de la carte qui vous intéresse, enfin ou qui vous préoccupe.
Parfois oui, parfois on veut exactement. Mon projet passera par quelle ville, je ne sais pas. Ouais.
C'est quand on rentre après au niveau pays, en fait, on a pas mal d'informations déjà sur les villes. Alors, peut-être qu'il faut que je regarde dans le détail, mais peut-être qu'en zoomant encore plus, je pense qu'on peut voir même les petits villages, etc. Alors, qu'est-ce que... On va le prendre en considération, je le note.
Mais je voudrais rajouter en fait. Moi aussi j'avais pensé à ça. Et je sais qu'il y a beaucoup de travail qui se font dans le monde. Il y a des institutions, par exemple, je sais que UNITAR fait beaucoup. UNITAR basé à Genève, United Nations Institute of Training and Research. Ils ont tout un département qui s'occupe de l'imagerie satellite. Parce que Google Earth, c'est des images satellites, hein, c'est des images. Et ils font un travail formidable à analyser, à développer des logiciels, à analyser les imageries satellites, satellite imagery, qui permet dans divers domaines. Hein. Je crois qu'ils sont focus dans tout ce qui est sécurité. On peut travailler sur la pollution. Il y a des algorithmes qui ont été développés, par exemple, pour la biodiversité, en regardant la couleur, en fait, de la végétation. Ne serait-ce que la couleur de la végétation qui reflète la lumière, on peut savoir le degré de biodiversité, est-ce qu'il y a une désertification. Je sais qu'il y a pas mal de... Christine avait parlé à l'époque, je ne sais pas si elle est toujours là, Christine avait parlé de l'eau, en fait, même l'eau souterraine. Il y a beaucoup de travaux, en fait, d'outils qui sont en train d'être développés au fur et à mesure que l'imagerie satellite devient plus fiable, je dirais, la résolution augmente et c'est la fréquence des, comment ça s'appelle, le refresh rate, quoi. Ça veut dire que les images sont rafraîchies de plus en plus rapidement, fréquemment. Ça ouvre beaucoup de possibilités, en fait. Alors, la question de Younes, je crois que c'est une question très, très fondamentale. Est-ce que on cherche une carte quelconque et puis on vient superposer des lignes, des affaires comme ça, des, des,
pour représenter une route, une rail, etc. Ou alors, est-ce que le fond, je dirais, le background, peut-être Google Maps ou Google Earth, sur laquelle on vient superposer? Parce que déjà, on va voir pas mal de choses sur le fond. Le fond Google Maps ou Google Earth est déjà un fond qui est très riche. Et bon, dans certains cas, vous allez même voir les infrastructures. Hein. Si vous regardez, je ne sais pas moi, des histoires comme les grands barrages ou les centrales solaires, grandes centrales solaires, elles sont tout à fait visibles sur Google Maps déjà. Hein. Et là, on peut zoomer à volonté jusqu'à descendre dans la rue, quoi, pratiquement. Mais alors, bon, je crois que c'est une piste à explorer. Hein. Parce que dans 10 ans, encore une fois, il faut qu'on se projette un peu dans l'avenir. L'outil qu'on développe aujourd'hui ne devrait pas être basé sur les technologies actuelles ou passées. Allons essayer d'imaginer quelle sera la réalité dans 10 ans et essayer de trouver un outil qui pourra s'adapter au moins pendant les quelques années à venir avec tout ce qui va sortir en termes d'imagerie satellite ou d'outils pour dans ce.
Moi, je pense que c'est une très bonne suggestion de la part de l'UNES. Évidemment, plus on a d'informations, plus c'est utile, plus ça justifie aussi les projets. Donc oui, je pense que si on peut avoir en tout cas des images satellites, ça peut aider beaucoup à la compréhension des projets, à leur justification et du coup à aider à la navigation. Donc on va étudier cette question d'utiliser Google Maps et Google Earth pour avoir les images satellites.
Ok, merci. Est-ce que nous avons
merci, d'autres... Charles, merci, Krishna.
Merci, Younes. Est-ce qu'on a d'autres questions ou d'autres interventions? Si vous avez fini, peut-être il faut baisser la main. Ceux qui ont levé la main. Je vois Tish est là, notre collègue. Our colleague Tish has joined. Maybe if you want to say something, and Ephraim also is online. Ephraim, I know you just joined us. You were not there initially, but... We are trying to collect feedback, and so if you want to say something, Ephraim, please go on.
Thank you, Krishna. I don't have anything to say, but if there are any questions, then I'm ready to respond to. Thank you.
Okay.
Nothing from my end, Krishna, but it's great to hear you and to listen to the lively discussions.
Okay. Thank you. So, colleagues, I think if there are no further questions, I think today was a special session. Normally, we finish at least 3 to 3:30, but today, if there are no further questions and no suggestions, contributions from Focal Points, on these graphical interface and the three dimensions we just mentioned. Maybe we could close here, but this doesn't mean that in the meantime, if you consult with your colleagues at home in your countries, and if you come up with ideas, you always, you know, within the coming few days, weeks, please revert to us. Send us an email. You can use the PDAPAP2 email, actually. You are all more or less connected on the website. You can send a comment. That will reach us in any case, and I will then forward to Isham. Or maybe Isham, which would also be nice if you could type your email in the chat box so that they can then contact you directly if they want to get it. Yeah,
actually, what I suggest, Krishna, is that we can share those images with all the participants.
Yes.
And we can let them deadline maybe 10 days. Because remember, we need to start the programming now.
Exactly.
So we have some more inputs from here to 10 days. We can consider them and include them in this development.
Okay.
Donc, ce qu'on va faire, c'est qu'on va vous faire parvenir les images, cette présentation que je viens de vous faire. Et on va vous laisser à peu près une dizaine de jours, si vous voulez les consulter au niveau de votre pays, en interne, avec vos organisations. Et si vous avez des suggestions ou des contributions à apporter, donc on vous invite à les faire dans un délai de 10 jours, puisque la prochaine étape maintenant, ça va être de développer la plateforme.
Oui, merci Hicham. J'ajouterais même que en fait, on va les poster sur le site PIDAPAP 2, quoi. Le plus simple, en fait, que au lieu de, je ne sais pas si c'est des fichiers, gros fichiers, mais normalement, s'il y a un moyen de les mettre sous forme de présentation ou de série de fichiers, on peut même poster les fichiers sur le site. Ephraim, the suggestion is to for us to post these presentations on the website as today's webinar, and then we give 10 days for our colleagues, focal points, to come back to us with any other comments, suggestions they may have. I guess this
we'll post it. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So you, these so Hicham, please maybe send it to us so we can put it on Dropbox somewhere, and then Ephraim can pick it up from there and upload it on the website, on the PIDAPAP2 website, as today's presentation. And then maybe we'll send a short message. Maybe I will send a short message and try to outline these three dimensions we discussed about, and invite colleagues within the next 10 days to give us their suggestions.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other comments, suggestions? Maybe I can see our colleagues from AUC are no longer connected. So, colleagues, I can see nothing else in the box. So, if there are no other comments, suggestions, I think we'll close here. And please connect to the. I can see. I think it's Monga from Unica. Monga, are you there? Can you hear us?
Yes, I'm here. I've been listening
to us. Yeah. So Monga, actually, you are the mode planning people. Actually, maybe we could hear from you. Actually, Unica is the experts, the in planning economists and all that. What do you think of the potential of this tool to be used in the context of economic planning, forecasting, growth strategies, development corridors, industrial corridors, and all that? What would you suggest to as functionality so that the economists in these countries can use this tool?
You know what? For me, I was impressed. That's number one. I mean, that's a great work that has been done, to develop this. Anything that is so visual and yet giving such comprehensive information, it's very, very worthwhile. And I thought that, it's a pity that this is not an interactive training kind of. I would have first liked it if it was interactive, where, because now I can see that even the slides here, like the pictures are still pictures. If it was interactive in a sense that, one can do it, whilst, they do that, then I think it's a very, very important one, on the surface. I think we will need to have more interaction with this tool so that we can understand its capabilities, before, for instance, that we can use it and build the capacity. Because for me, this is better than a document that you are reading, on this, but it's actually giving you sort of a visual, demonstration. Let's say it's a pity that it was not live, but it's a worthwhile thing, I think.
Yeah, but be careful, Monga. We're still in very early stages. Actually, this is a consultation meeting to collect feedback. The actual tool has not been developed yet, and definitely once it is developed, there will be we will organize the detailed trainings and interactive tools. Interactive versions will be there. Yeah.
Yes, I see that. But on the surface, looking at the presentation, it shows there's a potential here. It's better than whatever I've seen before.
Okay, perfect. This is good. This is very encouraging feedback.
And also, it's good for us for the task force. Particularly where it shows, for instance, the parallel projects. If there's a water project, you can even see like there's another project running around it. So now you can see, that type of a, you know, a visual. You know, it's very, very interesting in that way.
Yes, yes. No, actually, go on, Ishan.
And I would just to explain a bit the how we are developing this platform. First, the first step was the definition of the needs and expectation of the AUC. So we worked very closely with Krishna, Yaguba, and the technical assistance team to define what was the expectations and the work frame. And then this phase that you are seeing now, there was an intermediary phase, which was the blueprints. Since I just presented everything, but it was like in black and white. And now we work the design phase. So that's how we're consulting you now in this step before we start the development, because once it is developed, it's a bit complicated to get back and change things. That's like the projection of the platform and how we see the main template. Said, yeah, of course, we will be in touch with you again once the website is developed, and we will also ask you to contribute to the test phase, the usability test phase. So we will need many people to test the website, and so we will probably ask for your contribution. Thank you,
Hisham. Okay. Actually, yes, thank you to have explained that we're still in the actually fine-tuning the terms of reference and scope of the intervention actually at this stage, the consultation to do this. Okay, colleagues, any other views from colleagues, anybody who wants to add something? I can see Pamela. Pamela, are you from an AUC department? Do you want to give us your views, Pamela? Pamela Levira? Oh, Olushula is there also. I can see Olushula. Hello, Olushula.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi. Krishna, always. Actually, our good afternoon. This distinguished colleague from ECA said it all. We wish it is interactive. Maybe by the time it's more developed, then we can check it out.
Okay. No, okay. We will have more sessions, actually. This is a good idea, actually. I think this should be noted, that as you progress in the development, you collect the feedback, and maybe in July, August, whatever, we're planning some more webinars, even beyond the deadline of the PDAPAP 2. This 30th of June will not be the kind of the end of this interaction. So we want to keep this live. So maybe even by September, if you have, you know, a more advanced version, it would be nice if we could convene another session like this, a follow-up session.
Yeah, and of course.
We show what we've achieved, what has been developed, collect more feedback. I think this is a very nice way of keeping in touch and making sure you are the target public, actually, the actual users are happy with it.
Exactly. No, the next step will be in September, when we will have the database uploaded to the platform, and then we will invite you. Well, maybe another presentation, but most of all to test the platform with the real database.
Okay, good. Okay, so. Colleagues, I think we've come to an end, and if no other interventions, I think we will close here, and definitely there will be another follow-up session as Hisham has progressed, as we receive your feedback within the next 10 days, and as he has progressed with the development work, then we will reconvene another session to show you and to collect more feedback. So I thank you all for your very active participation today. We were quite nearly 25 people at one point. And look forward for our colleagues who are focal points. So please, next week is literally the last week for submission of projects. So we will be focusing on AMU, Northern Region, ECOWAS, and also Eastern Region. So the three regions, three main regions where we still have a lot of outstanding projects to be input. Western, Eastern, and Northern region will be the focus for next week in terms of regional webinar. So we invite you all to connect. Thank you. Thank you again for your participation. Thank you for helping us with the questions. And thank you, Isham, for your very brilliant, for your interesting presentation. And thank you, colleagues, for all your feedback and suggestions.
Thank you, Krishna. Thank you, everybody, for your
assistance.
Bye. Thank you, Krishna.
Thank you.
Thank you, colleagues. Bye.
Thanks, everybody.